Time for this week's podcast recommendation. Check out On the Media with Brooke Gladstone and Bob Garfield from WNYC. It helps you figure out what to make of all the information that gets hurled into your face every day in this crazy world we call home. It'll make you smarter. Listen to On the Media wherever you get your podcasts or through the WNYC app. From WNYC, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we have breaking news. A Freedom of Information request has exposed widespread dissatisfaction with the cafeteria offerings at the Central Intelligence Agency. Okay, back up. To be fair, this isn't breaking news. It actually happened like 5 years ago. I just always wanted to say I had breaking news and play that sound effect. So here's the deal. Jason Smathers is the pastor of Golden Shores Community Baptist Church in Golden Shores, Arizona. And back in 2010, he was writing about areas where government and faith intersect, and so he filed some Freedom of Information requests with the CIA.
I had filed several other requests with the CIA, and they reject almost every request. And so, being frustrated, I just wondered if there was anything at all they'd ever release. And so I thought of this.
And so you just basically said, I'm going to try to find the most harmless, least controversial thing I could possibly request.
Exactly.
Jason requested the contents of the suggestion box in the CIA cafeteria. Here's what he got back.
I was very aggravated at buying a Subway sandwich and going back to my desk to eat to find the bread stale and crunchy hard. I had to eat the inside and throw the bread out.
Why doesn't the Burger King facility here offer the dollar menu like the outside facilities? Why can't there be nicer food handlers? Attitude every day.
Please put back the individual packets of ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. The large pump boxes of these items are not convenient to use, causing frustration, and are not liked by many people.
What's your take on that ketchup packet situation? Would you rather have packets or the pump?
I'll take the packet, too.
So you and the CIA, you guys are like really simpatico, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Right? We get along quite well.
I gotta say, I think that all these suggestions are even more hilarious if you imagine that they're coming from, like, the most badass spies in the CIA. So as you listen, think Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible.
I purchased the usual Friday kielbasa this morning and was disappointed to find that you had changed the brand. Please change back to the previous brand. This is a Friday treat that I look forward to every week.
The Pepsi coming out of the regular Pepsi spout is Diet Pepsi.
I had the Russian meal today and am disappointed. To try and be cute with substituting a backward R is tacky.
I noticed the previous brewed iced tea dispensers have been replaced with different dispensers with pipes coming out of the back. This new tea tastes terrible.
As of late, there seems to be a shortage of almonds for the breakfast cereals such as oatmeal, cream of wheat, etc. Increase the almond purchases / supplies as appropriate. Thank you.
A couple years after Jason's request, George Levines took up the cause. At the time, he was an editor at Muckrock, a website that helps people file Freedom of Information requests. George says requests like these are strategic. They're meant to set precedents that could be used to force the release of more important documents down the road.
For a clandestine agency, one that sort of routinely makes a habit of denying requests wholesale, you know, anything that you can get out of them is valuable.
So George put in his own FOIA request for more CIA cafeteria complaints. And there's really only one that came back that you need to hear. It's the one that broke the scandal of the jazz salad. Again, think Tom Cruise.
I've sent comments about the jazz salads being misadvertised before, but yesterday takes the cake. The jazz salad was supposed to be a Sonoma grape and prosciutto salad. This was advertised on the online menu and on the sign above the salad. This is one of my favorite salads, so I stand in line and I notice there's no grapes. Grapes are in the title of the salad. I asked about them, and the server pointed to a cherry tomato and said, they're red grapes. I said, no, those are tomatoes. So should I just get the grapes from the salad bar? She didn't really give me an opinion, but I did get the grapes from the salad bar, and I did tell the cashier about it. However, when an item is in the title of the jazz salad, please make an effort to include this item in the actual salad? Thanks.
This explosive scandal would come to be known as Jazz Salad Ghazi Gate. I mean, it came to be known as that just now when I said it. Try to spread the word. I asked George for his take on Jazz Salad Ghazi Gate.
I don't know what a jazz salad is. I could not tell you. I've never seen a jazz salad. I've never heard of a jazz salad. Honestly, that complaint seems well-founded and legitimate. I would expect there also to be some jazz in my jazz salad.
That's what I'm curious about, though, because I'm looking at this. It says the jazz salad was supposed to be a Sonoma grape and prosciutto salad. So what part of that is the jazz? Is it the Sonoma grape? Is it the prosciutto? Is it the coming together of the two?
I have no idea.
What would be, like, one step higher? Like they're not going to tell us, you know, where all the bodies are buried, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, what would be one thing that we could be like, well, you gave us the cafeteria complaints. Like, what would be the next thing up the chain of importance of information?
I don't know. What's above cafeteria complaints?
Like, maybe recipes?
Yeah, recipes?
The recipes for some of the dishes would be interesting to see.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, so I know this sounds totally bizarre and far-fetched, but you can imagine a scenario in which, like, the properly skilled person reading an ingredients list for XYZ...
Beef stroganoff.
Yeah, beef stroganoff could, you know, manipulate the ingredients such that people at the CIA are passing out, or I don't know, you know, like, all of a sudden you open a Pandora's box.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, now we can't bring beef stroganoff through airport security.
Yeah, and, you know, forget about jazz salad.
Yeah, there's not going to be any musical-themed salads allowed anywhere in the country. This is a slippery slope. Now I can understand why the recipes need to stay secret. Now, we did reach out to the CIA for comment. They issued a statement which reads in part, "Compared to other cafeterias housed at federal agencies in the Washington metro area, we believe CIA's cafeteria is quite good. Employees who visit from other agencies in the area often speak jealously of the quality and options available at our cafeteria compared to those at other agencies." And I gotta say, to back up the CIA, there are positive comments in the suggestion box too.
"The carrots on the hot bar today were amazingly good. Thanks."
Now here's some other things we learned in our email exchange with the CIA. Spokesperson Ryan Trapani's favorite dish at the cafeteria, Peruvian chicken. The Burger King still doesn't have a dollar menu. Folks in the CIA press office think that ketchup pump dispensers are better for people eating in the cafeteria, but packets are better for people who take the food back to their desks. I gotta say, I agree with that. And finally, a jazz salad is an entree-type salad that is made to order. I asked Jason, the pastor who filed the original FOIA request, how has seeing the cafeteria suggestions changed your perception of the people at the CIA?
Well, they're human. It's easy to think of them as a faceless person behind a drone, but they're upset about stale sandwich bread also.
I think that's right, Jason. I think it's a good lesson for all of us. Even the CIA gets upset about stale sandwich bread. Coming up, much more on office eating to cover. Kristen in L.A. calls up for advice on office potluck etiquette. Can you take food if you didn't bring any? Should you offer money? What if you throw in a few bucks, then the food isn't very good? And I'll question whether the activities in Kristen's office even count as a potluck. Stay with us. Hey friends, I want to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts in the world. It's called On the Media. It's hosted by Brooke Gladstone and Bob Garfield right here at WNYC. And it's not some insidery media industry kind of show, not at all. It's really about what we should make of all the information that just gets hurled into our faces every day. And you know, what I really love about Brooke and Bob is that they give all sides a fair hearing, but at the same time, they let their personalities and their perspectives shine through. It is a great show. Listen to On the Media wherever you get your podcasts or through the WNYC app. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. And before we get back to the show, I want to just bring this up one more time and then I'll let it go. Now, the last couple weeks in The Sporkful, I've mentioned that we're in the middle of a bit of a drive. We're trying to raise some money here. We're trying to raise $20 million. but we'll also take $5. I mean, we'll take whatever you want to give us. We will be very happy to take it. I hope that you see that we put a ton of work into this Borkful. We try to make every episode as amazing as it can be. We recently went to weekly, which was a heavy lift, but we're glad to do it. And we're glad that we can offer this Borkful podcast to you for free. But making it isn't free. And that's why we really need to ask for your help. There's a lot of cool gifts and fun things you can get. Pot holders, coffee cups, copy of my book. And when you decide how much to give, just think like, how much pleasure does this Borkful give you? The fun, the entertainment, the deliciousness, the joy of us being together. So please, help us out. Go to Sporkful.com/support. Again, Sporkful.com/support. And thank you. All right, time now to turn to the phones. And we have a call coming in about office potlucks from a longtime friend of the Sporkful. Kristen Muller is a managing editor at KPCC, Southern California Public Radio. She joins me from L.A. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Dan.
So what's your issue with the office potluck?
So a couple of months back, we had a potluck in the office. And I should say that we have a lot of potlucks. Sometimes they just show up for no reason, like, hey, all, there's a potluck. What are you bringing? And my problem, if I may be so bold, is that it puts pressure on the rest of us who don't have it together, organizationally speaking, to come up with a dish, a homemade dish, on a pretty semi-regular basis.
Right. So I gather what you're telling me is that you have taken food from the office potluck in spite of the fact that you did not contribute any food to it.
That was my method for, I don't know, maybe 6 months to 8 months. And mind you, there were probably 3 or 4 potlucks in that time. The guilt, I couldn't keep doing that. I had to contribute. Of course, I'm not organized enough to remember ahead of time that there's a potluck, and I couldn't really contribute like the cereal dust on my desk. So I had to come up with another way to contribute. And fortunately, there were other people in my boat. So at our last potluck, they started taking donations, which is very smart, right? There's like a jar. You can put as much money in as you want, and then you can take as much food as you want.
So they started collecting money, which that's a pretty good solution. That way, folks like you who maybe don't have the time or the culinary passion to cook food can throw in a few bucks. So how did that system work?
Well, I'd like to say that I willingly gave up money, but of course, not only did I not have any food for the potluck, but I didn't have any money, cash, period, so I had to borrow money.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm the worst coworker you're ever going to meet.
Yeah. So
I borrowed money to pay for the potluck. And then, you know, by the time I got there, it was kind of the end of the potluck. You know, and with any potluck, there are winners and losers, right? The good meals go super fast. The bad meals, not so much. So I contributed my, I believe it was $5, or it was my coworker's $5 that I'd borrowed, and I put it in the jar. And I got, I'm trying to think exactly what I got. It was a macaroni and cheese and some kind of enchilada. Okay, and this is the part where it gets bad, and that is, it wasn't that good. It really wasn't that good. It wasn't $5 worth. It wasn't $5.
Well, it wasn't $5 worth in terms of the quality or the quantity?
Quality, because there was, quantity was not the issue. There was plenty. But, like, would you pay $5 for a giant plate of macaroni and cheese that wasn't very good anywhere? Like, you wouldn't pay for that, right?
Well, but I mean,
maybe $2.
But when you go into a restaurant, there are times you go to a restaurant, you buy food there, and it ends up not being as good as you had hoped. And you may think, well, gee, I wish I hadn't bought that. But you don't then say, well, it's not $5 worth. I mean, $5 isn't that much for a lunch in a city.
That's okay. So you have a point. You have a point.
Right.
I don't know. It's something about paying to be part of it. Like, it's weird, right? It kind of violates this pact, I feel like.
Well, that,
so I'm trying to have it both ways. I'm complaining about not bringing anything. I'm complaining about having to pay. So,
and you're complaining about the food you get after you pay.
I know. Can I not use my real name?
Yeah.
Can I not use my real name on this?
Well, one of the important points I want to make is that I believe strongly that in any potluck, you must remember that 4/7 of the word potluck is luck. First of all, nobody should assign dishes. If everyone
self-selecting, right? That's the other thing about the potluck. When I do choose to participate, I come in late to the game. The dessert column is already filled out. The drinks column is already filled out. All that's left are the entrees and the salads, which, as we know, are hard.
Well, first of all, then back up. It's not a potluck. You're not having a potluck at your office. You're having a collective meal.
Okay.
Where everyone makes contributions. Because if there's a sign-up sheet for everyone to bring different things, it's not a potluck because there is no luck.
You're right. It's rigged. It's totally
The whole
rigged.
Thing has been rigged. You know, this is like it's like Vladimir Putin's potluck society here. Okay? Part of the social contract of the potluck is that you are giving up the power to micromanage your meal and placing your fate, the fate of you and your stomach and your future satiety, you're placing that fate in the hands of others as they are placing it in yours. And sometimes you may end up with 10 apple pies. But when it all comes together just right, it's magic because it was sort of through this, you know,
okay,
sort of.
Have you ever experienced that? I want to call you out on that. Have you ever experienced a perfect potluck?
I don't know that I've experienced a perfect potluck. I've experienced some very good ones. But, you know, I talk in my book a lot about the pursuit of something I call perfect deliciousness. It's a platonic ideal. It's something that we continue to pursue throughout our lives, and we may never get there. Most of us never get there. But it is the pursuit that defines us as eaters,
okay.
And it is the deliciousness that we experience along the way that sustains us. And
so I'm
going to keep looking for that perfect potluck.
I think that's commendable. And if we take your metaphor, if you will, to its logical extension, then the workplace potluck, or I don't know what you would call it, the not a potluck per se, but whatever you want to call this kind of bastardization of the potluck that's happening in my office.
Right.
What does that say about our little office society? Because there are clearly people that come out on top, and there are clearly people like me on the outside with their nose pressed to the glass, bitter, unable to contribute in a meaningful way. So what does that say about our office? I'm looking for deeper meaning here, Dan.
Well, it says a couple things. I think that the fact that you have a not true potluck shows that you have a lot of producers, content creators at your radio station, because they're looking at this meal like a segment to be plotted out for broadcast on the air. Well, we need a beginning, middle, and an end. Well, no, cut this dish. It's too long. Okay, they're you know, and every great producer is a little bit OCD about such things. They're always trying to manage, but you know, you got to let go.
I think you're right when you talk about the production element of it. It does really upset me when it's an uneven distribution of, you know, appetizers, salads, entrees, and desserts. Like the excess of desserts really, I don't know, it does. It really upsets me. It upsets me because no one is executive producing the potluck. That's the problem.
It's a poorly produced segment in your eyes.
It is.
As a producer.
It is a poorly produced segment.
Okay. But you know, this is a utopian society. It's an artist colony. It's not a news radio segment. All right, Kristen, and you're going where the wind and the enchiladas and the desserts take you. But the other thing that I will say is that I do think that it is acceptable in specific instances to bring bought food to a potluck if that food has some kind of special je ne sais quoi to it. It has a good backstory. It's a specialty food that you really went out of your way to get that people wouldn't get normally.
Good.
Now, look, if you just went and bought Entenmann's donuts at the supermarket, that's a fail.
Right.
That's a fail.
I've done that.
But if you're there's this amazing new place opened up near me and I'm going to bring in a pizza or whatever, or whatever the food is, or it's got this great backstory, you know, it could even be as simple as, like, I figured out that if you mix these three cereals together, it's amazing, and I'm bringing in all three cereals and milk and bowls and spoons.
That's a great idea.
There you go.
I could do that.
You can do that, Kristen. You can mix cereals together.
I could actually probably bring the cereals that are already on my desk, because I literally do have three boxes of cereal on standby.
That's right, and that's your recipe.
Okay, that is a really good tip.
All right. You feel better, Kristen?
I do. I feel like this has been like a therapy session, actually. I've learned more about myself than I have about Paula.
Coming up next week on The Sporkful, more office eating. Our three-part series could not be contained. It just became a four-part series. And next week in part four, I'll go to the offices of Slate.com. I'm going to visit my friend Mike Pesca, host of the Gist podcast. We'll discuss what you can tell about a company by its office kitchen and whether free coffee is worth more than good health care. Plus, I'll coach Mike on lunchtime sandwich construction. This turkey you're putting on the sandwich, you just took this straight out of the fridge, right? It's still cold.
Right.
Microwave it separately before you put it in your hot sandwich. You don't want to put cold meat up against your hot cheese. You're ruining your beautiful hot cheese you just worked so hard to attain.
God, I never thought of that. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
That's next week. Follow me on Twitter at TheSporkful, and please remember, donate to The Sporkful at sporkful.com/support. This show is produced by Ann Sani and me. Special thanks to Lital Molad. And thank you to all the people at WNYC who played the roles of CIA spies. Joanna Solitaroff, Andy Lancet, Shannon McMahon, Melissa O'Donnell, Danny Lewis, Kristen Meinzer, Joe Curcio, Alethea John, Dave Emmert, Kevin McCall, April Reeves Mathis, Vina Orden, Jennifer Mack, and the one and only Brian Lehrer. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And we're Austin.
And Karen from Provo, Utah, reminding you to
eat more,
eat better,
and
eat more better.